Praise the Lord for the great privilege of being gathered together in His presence again today. I hope that everyone is feeling well, and I also hope that listening is not as strenuous as speaking. It is strenuous, as Brother Rus just said, but it is worth the effort. Blessed is he who listens with all his heart, follows along, takes in, and allows himself to be revealed by the Spirit what the Word says. I especially wish God's help and God's blessing upon the beloved brothers who are translating. It is not easy, and I believe that all the brothers and sisters long to understand everything, every sentence, every thought that is expressed. And so may God indeed grant grace for speaking, for translating, for listening, for everything, if we believe it will happen. The day we remember today is indeed a special day. The resurrection of our Lord was the crowning glory of the entire work of redemption that God accomplished in Christ. If there had been no resurrection, we would have no living hope, and we too would not have been able to rise with Christ. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection, because he has overcome death. We too will emerge victorious in the first resurrection. Let us read some scriptures. Take them in again, and may the Lord indeed bless us. I would like to read from Luke 24. The four Gospels give us a very good account of what happened, and we would do well to take all four accounts together in order to have a complete overview. The text concerning the resurrection has already been read. I would like to read only the first verses of Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to read any further, because we know the text. The tomb is empty. Our Lord is risen. He has taken away the power of death. Yes, he has removed the sting of death, so that Paul could exclaim, "Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Today, we will again look at some scriptures from the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. Here it is written. Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. That was the announcement in the Old Testament, and that is what happened. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. No man could deliver himself, not even a prophet, even if he had been the greatest, because all have sinned, death has passed upon all. It took someone who had power over death to ransom us from the power of the grave. I will read it again. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Even God cannot have compassion for death and the devil, nor for hell and everything else that is contrary to him. He had to clean it up and grant victory to his people by grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As I said before, I want to let God's word speak, and I hope that it touches all our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 9 to 11. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. In the Old Testament we read, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Here we are told that he did so. In the Old Testament it was promised that he would redeem us. In the New Testament it is confirmed that he has redeemed us. I would like to read this verse again. Who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There is no gospel, that is, no true gospel, unless it contains what it is actually about, namely our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God, pardon, salvation, and eternal life. You all know, people refer to everyone as believers. When the good man, no one is good, but when the man in St. Peter's Square gives his blessing, you read in the newspaper, he spoke to the believers. To which believers did he speak? To those who believe in him, The Muslims speak to those who believe in them, but the Lord, our God, speaks to those who believe in Him. We don't just believe something, we know whom we believe in, and we know that we believe rightly because we believe according to Scripture. I hope that we are also glad and thankful for this. From Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. Hebrews 2, verses 7 to 9. Thou madest him lower than the angels for a little while. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. And now comes the sentence. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In God's eyes, and from His perspective, everything has already happened. But God has a timetable. He had a period of time in the Old Testament, and He has a period of time in the New Testament. He could not deal with death and everything else immediately, because He has a plan for humanity. And only at the end, as we shall see, will death cease to exist. Today it still exists. Believers and unbelievers alike die earthly death. Both are buried. But at the first resurrection, it will become apparent who believed in the Lord and who carried the resurrection life, the life from God, within themselves. Do you believe that? There is a first and a second resurrection. And Holy Scripture says, Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Here it is said that everything is subject to him, but it is not yet visible, not yet executed. And Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 15 the exact time when this will happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we read from verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I read on. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is excepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That is the end. We will certainly come back to this part, or we can read it straight away. From 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 20 to 22. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And now listen carefully to verse 23. But every man in his own order. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming or return. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Everything is wonderfully ordered, and when we see this divine order, we can also correctly categorize all the scriptures that deal with these topics. From Hebrews 2, I would now like to read verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Shall I continue reading? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. People generally fear death. And indeed, it is probably not a pleasant thing. But death has been defeated, for Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, and we testify that he is alive. And we believe that we are not false witnesses, because we testify to what really happened. The resurrection is not a doctrine, it is a divine reality. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching would be in vain, and we too would have no hope. Please believe with all your heart what is written here. In verse 14, we are told, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He had to enter into this fleshly body in order to die according to the flesh. He went down in the spirit. I think it's written in 1 Peter that he died according to the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. God cannot die. God is spirit. The earthly shell has been surrendered to death. And we see how perfect the Holy Scriptures are in this regard. Today, our main concern on this day of remembrance is to fully grasp and be grasped that the things that were promised and have come to pass have become a divine reality. We read in the Old Testament that he would redeem, free from death, that these things would come. They have come. He has done it. It is finished. Let us rejoice that through his death he has destroyed the one who has the power of death, namely the devil. Here it says, destroyed. The devil is still at large. Everyone knows that, especially believers, even though there is a whole denomination that proclaims that we are already living in the millennium and that the devil is bound. If so much evil is happening on earth, while the devil is bound, what will happen when he is released? No, do not worry. We only believe what the Holy Scriptures say. And as for binding the devil, we read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, that this will happen just before the establishment of the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, and so on. Not yet, everything in its own time. I said it before, God has a timetable, and the whole plan of salvation proceeds according to it. I will read verse 15 of Hebrews 2 again. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He has set us free. He has redeemed us. We have become his property. His victory is our victory. His life is our life. From Revelation chapter 1, I would like to read verses 17 and 18. Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. John had the experience on the island of Patmos, and here it is reported to us as follows. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He is risen. He has conquered death. He has descended to the lowest parts of the earth. At that time, both were still below, paradise as the place of the saved, and also the place of the unsaved. And as we are told in Luke 16, there was a great gulf, but both were below. Even the saints of the Old Testament had to wait until the great day of atonement came, and they would be freed from death and redeemed. Until then, they remained below. As we have read in Peter, that the Lord went down and preached to the spirits in prison. But please do not believe that a single one of them was converted. There is no conversion down there. Just so that everyone knows, because there's also a doctrine that Christ went down and preached. And where does the Bible say that people were converted? It would be good if everyone would read the text in 1 Peter to the end, and then they would know what it was really about. Yes, you only need to read the entire text in 1 Peter 3, right up to the last verse, and then you will know exactly what our Lord did down there. Let us now turn to our text, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. With what majesty the risen Lord appeared there. No longer the man of sorrows, before whom people hid their faces, but you can read the description in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. This is how our Lord appeared to John on the island of Patmos. No wonder he fell down to worship the Lord. And the scripture says here, the Lord speaks to him, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. Before him there was no one, and after him there will be no one. He is the first, and he is the last." And then he says, "I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." Another translation puts it more bluntly, the keys of death and hell. He did not have them before someone else ruled over death. But now, the tide has turned. Our Lord brought victory at Golgotha. Not only here on earth, he went down, and Satan had to admit defeat and hand over the keys of death and hell. From now on, Satan was no longer in charge. There is only one who has the authority, and that is our Lord. He is giving the enemy space or room until the time is fulfilled, but in reality, he is already defeated. The head of the old serpent, the dragon, Satan, was crushed on Calvary. This was the promise in Genesis 3. He will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. Did it happen? What sting was it? The sting of death. He died, but he swallowed up death. He took it upon himself, but defeated it. Have we understood that? He did not avoid death. He faced death. He did not avoid the devil. He did not avoid hell. He faced all these things and then rose victorious over everything, over death, the devil, and hell on the third day. And because he lives, we too may live. He did not need to avoid the things we like to avoid. He does not need to. Yes, if he had avoided these things, we would still have to endure them. He came to destroy the one who had the power of death, and to set us free who were held in bondage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 54. So when this corruptible, do you understand what this is about? Not yet. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then, when the transformation of our bodies takes place at the return of Jesus Christ, according to the word of our Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we who are alive and remain shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise first, and then we who are still alive will be transformed, and together we will be caught up. At that time, this will be accomplished. Now, death is still everywhere. It is defeated, but it is still given room until that very moment comes. Let us read again. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You all know that God did this on purpose when he gave the law. Before the law, people lived in splendor and joy. There was no thou shalt not and thou shalt not. If thou doest this and that, then this and that will follow. But if there had been no law, we would have no way of recognizing sin, for there would have been no transgression. Where there is no law, there can be no transgression. But now man has fallen into sin, and had to be lawfully convicted of this sin. And so God, in his wisdom, gave the law to convict every person living on earth of transgression. Do you understand? This is why the law came. The law came through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. From Revelation 20, I would like to read verses 13 and 14. Revelation 20, verses 13 and 14. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Perhaps one verse more. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone who reads Revelation 20 understands very well that this refers to the period of the millennium, and that after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a very short time to deceive the inhabitants of the earth. And then comes the final reckoning, the final judgment, the second resurrection, in which all people, even those who were cremated, you know, there are people who would like to erase every memory of themselves. No one will be able to erase it. The sea gave up the dead. Everything gives up the dead. People only had their earthly shells burned. They themselves were no longer inside when the fire consumed their mortal remains. As we have read here, death and hell will give up the dead at that time. And then everything will be settled forever. And the lake of fire has a very important task, namely to settle accounts with everything once and for all. And after the final judgment, we will never again hear of the devil, hell, the realm of the dead, death, or anything else. After that comes the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Thanks be to our God. It's just a pity that it takes so long. We would all be happy if every believer were taken into glory upon their conversion. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Without trials, without anything. Straight away, Lord, I'm coming now. Bye-bye. No, it doesn't work like that. God has placed us here for a very specific purpose. Let us strive to become overcomers, so that we may be with the Lord forever, with the entire multitude of overcomers. From Zechariah 9, I would like to read verse 11. Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. That too was a promise. And in what context was it to happen? When the new covenant was made through blood. The new covenant was made on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." The old covenant was also inaugurated with blood. The book and the people were sprinkled with blood. The new covenant that God made was made in His blood. Not a covenant with words, a contract with handshake. But here God gave His life so that we could receive His life and become partakers of the divine nature. That is salvation. I will read the verse again. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Let us read Matthew 27 directly, and we will see that the Old Testament saints who were destined for the first resurrection rose with Christ. Matthew chapter 27 verses 50-53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. In the Old Testament we read that he was to deliver. Here we read that he has delivered. All the Old Testament saints, except Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, had to wait there until this great day of atonement would come. What do you think happened down there when all these believers of the Old Covenant saw the Lord as their Redeemer? That was the moment they had been waiting for. A Job who had proclaimed, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He had to wait until the Redeemer died in order to give him life. There are a number of scriptures that could be read on this subject. The text in Matthew 27 is very clear. While Christ was being crucified, the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs opened. But it was only with Christ that the dead rose. Without him, the risen one, there was no resurrection. He had already said at Lazarus' tomb in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And so he was the first of those who had fallen asleep, the first to come forth, and all the others followed him, and appeared to many in the holy city. That is what we have read here. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. He is the resurrection and the life. He said, I live, and you shall live also. His resurrection also guarantees ours. From 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 to 23 again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 to 23. Perhaps I have read the text just so that we can highlight it. Perhaps just verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. To be clear, the dead did not come forth directly at the crucifixion, but at the resurrection. Christ had to be the firstfruits. And he was. Now, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. Have you read it? The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What a wonderful word! We have read the relevant scriptures again and again. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. It is the testimony of Holy Scripture, and so it will be. Just as we are earthly, according to the first man, so we are spiritually, according to the heavenly man, and will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, the following is written. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And we all know that what he has spoken, he will certainly keep. God does not need to take back a promise. Before he made it, he was determined to carry out what and how he would announce it. He will swallow up death in victory. I believe no one will mourn its passing. Everyone will breathe a sigh of relief and be glad that it has come to an end. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Many tears have been shed here on earth. There has been much suffering, much heartache, much hardship, perhaps also tears that were shed before the Lord, tears of repentance, tears of joy, whatever it may have been. He will wipe away the tears from every face. Let us read a little more from Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We already had a very brief discussion today about the new Jerusalem, but it is really true. The new Jerusalem is connected with the bride. For look, even the heavens must be renewed. We read about this in chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. If we were there at that time, we too would disappear, and that is not possible. It must not happen, and it will not happen. Satan was in heaven and caused a rebellion there, as we went through it recently. And that is why it says in Job, even the heavens are not clean in his sight, and he putteth no trust in his saints. Heaven must be renewed. The prophet Isaiah already saw the new heaven and the new earth in chapter 66. I will read it to you. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. The prophets already saw God's plan of salvation, wrote about it, and set it forth. Let us return to Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, adorned, made beautiful. For whom? For no one? No, for us, for the bride. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. John did not see the city ascend. He saw it come down from heaven. And the bride has already taken up her dwelling place, according to Revelation 19 at that time, and will celebrate the marriage supper in glory with the bridegroom. I will now continue reading here. in Revelation 21, perhaps starting at the beginning of verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." According to Romans 8, the whole creation longs for the time of redemption and the manifestation of the sons of God. And this too will happen in stages. First, as already mentioned, comes the rapture, followed by the millennium, preceded, of course, by the ministry of the two witnesses and the great tribulation. And after the 1,000 years comes the final judgment, followed by the new heaven and the new earth. Beloved, let us all strive to be ready when the Lord comes. Paul wrote at that time and said, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection." Have you all read that? Paul writes to the Philippians that he will attain the resurrection of the dead. When he uses this phrase, he does not mean a general resurrection. No, I will read it to you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." You see, in this translation, there is a note here. I haven't read the note. I don't need to read it. Here in the original text, it says first resurrection. There is the first and the second. In the first resurrection, there will indeed only be the overcomers over whom the second death has no power. We have already read this verse during these days. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." And how can we overcome? Let me read it to you. From Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. It should be here in verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him," that is the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What testimony is this? That someone simply bears witness? Let me read it. From Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. From verse 7. Actually, we would need to read much more of the text, but you can do that later. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he says unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. May God grant us grace, that this testimony of Jesus, the scriptural testimony, may be given to us all through the Spirit, just as it was written in prophecy, so it has also been fulfilled. He, the Son, is also the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. People puzzle over it and cannot make sense of it. I tell you sincerely, no one can comprehend it with their mind or express it in words. Let us leave the greatest of all mysteries and thank God that it has been revealed to us. But let us leave it as God has revealed it and not try to make it suitable or accessible to us through our own words or interpretations. Scripture says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. We believe it. And when Scripture says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We believe that too, just as it is written, and as it was proclaimed. What happened? At the moment when the sin of all mankind was to be atoned for there by our Savior, God, who is Spirit, withdrew. As a human being, our Savior died for humanity and took upon himself all the wretchedness, all the misery of sin, being forsaken by God. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We were the ones forsaken by God. He took our place. He bore our guilt and our sin. And in the next moment, when the spear pierced his side and the blood flowed, God was in Christ to reconcile the world to himself through the holy blood. Both are true. The first moment of forsakenness and the second, reconciliation with God. What a grace that we can rejoice in such scriptures. There are people who stumble over them and say, if it was him, God and Lord, how can he say that? You need spiritual understanding for all these things. Let us summarize. Today, we remember the great and glorious day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The day when victory was brought to the surface. The day when victory over death, the devil and hell could be proclaimed and revealed here on this earth. We rightly sing, Jesus is the victor over death. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved, today too, the gospel should penetrate our hearts. We do not want to merely hear, we want to experience what God has prepared and given us in Christ. Today, let us consecrate our lives to Him anew and ask Him not only to have taken away our guilt and forgiven our sins, but also to fill us with His new, divine, eternal life and make us alive through His Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam was a living soul, the second a life-giving spirit. He creates life. He gives life from God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let us receive and accept Him today, and it will come true. Whoever has Him has eternal life. Fear not, neither death nor anything else, but fear God and give Him the glory. The Lord said to John at that time, fear not. He calls out the same words to us today. Fear not, for behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Whatever may come, the Lord will be with us until we come from faith to sight, praised and glorified. Be His wonderful and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and give glory to the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Even though I am not as physically strong as I would like to be and cannot raise my voice as I would like to, I still believe that God's word has accomplished what it was sent to do. It would make me exceedingly happy today because it is in my heart. If on this day, at this hour, all our young people in particular would rededicate their lives to the Lord. I do not know why, but I have carried this thought within me since the beginning of the meetings, and I would like to express it here in words. Especially the young people, may the Lord be with them, and may they make a wholehearted decision for Him, consecrating their young lives to Him. I know that you have already done so, but would it hurt? Certainly not. If we prayed especially for you today, you may say, will that do any good? Certainly, God hears prayer. And the decision you will make, or have already made, is the biggest decision a person can make in life. I am sure that many of us have made wrong decisions, but a decision for Christ is the right decision, and it must be made by each person individually. I don't want to linger any longer. I simply have a desire that everyone come forward while we sing the chorus, Just As I Am. I have to get this off my chest. I simply ask that all young people, you can start at 12 and go up to 30, it doesn't matter. We just want God to do something. He sees your hunger. He knows about you. And we want to pray that God can hear us. You all know, we always come to the front at the meetings on the first weekends. Why can't we do it today? Let's just sing, and may all young people consciously consecrate themselves to the Lord today. Please come to the front. We are grateful to the Lord that you have come. Perhaps I should not have set the upper limit. Come, whoever still wants to come, no matter how old or how young. The hour in which we live is serious. Time has progressed. The return of the Lord is near. And whoever wants to serve Him, wants to live for Him, must begin today, not tomorrow. They must begin today. And we are simply here, and I hope that no one will criticize it. If you had it in your hearts, one must get such things off one's chest, and with that it is done. We come to the Lord quite consciously to rededicate our lives to Him, and I'm sure He will see and accept it. Addressing you, young people in particular, you are surely in the prime of your lives, and you too have many decisions to make. May they be made before the Lord, no matter what they are, so that God's blessing may rest upon them, and we may indeed spend the last years or days or weeks, months, whatever it may be, until the Lord's return, here together and live for Him. As you know, young people have the most problems. Trust in the Lord. And when things are not going so well, trust Him all the more. He is not only the Savior, He is the Advocate. He entered the heavenly sanctuary with His own blood to intercede for us, even now, at this very moment. Trust in the Lord, who has forgiven all guilt, wiped away all sin, and who accepted you. Do you all believe this with all your hearts? Do you really believe it? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We came to him as lost ones, and as saved ones, we may walk with him. Let us now pray together. I will ask Brother Rus to pray with us, but please pray in faith. In faith. And those who pray in faith already thank the Lord for hearing us. The Holy Scriptures tells us this, and I would like to read it to you quickly so that we know how we receive things from God. Mark chapter 11, the well-known scripture, Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. In prayer we bring things before the Lord, and when we have prayed and received the faith that he has heard us, let us speak what we have prayed for, so that it may be granted to us. Have joy and trust in God now in prayer. Please, let us all give thanks and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you together, O Lord. We have heard your word, O Lord. We now want to follow, Lord, and come to you together, looking up to you, from whom all help comes. Our help comes from you, the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you as your people, Lord, as those who desire to obey your word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, be gracious to us now. Be nigh to us, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our faults, our shortcomings, Lord. Lord, we desire to be your people, Lord. Help us by your grace in this hour. Faithful God, I consecrate this people to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. May they be your possession, Lord, not only for this time, but also for eternity, Lord. Lord, what good is it to us if we only come to the service, Lord? No, Lord, we want to be in your kingdom, in your glory, Lord. Grant it by your grace, Lord. Praise and honor, glory and worship be to your name. Hallelujah.